Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This abiding moment, I wanted to share about, you know, living a surrendered life. You know, today, many people, Pat, they focus much of their attention on what others are writing about God's word than God, you know, God's word. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, books are cool and everything, but I mean, it comes to a point where we need to focus on not only the Bible, but it would do as well to focus on the words in red, you know, Jesus's words, the words in red. And as I look at the landscape, you know, of our culture and the church, I see how much of the culture has infiltrated the church rather than the church really infiltrating, you know, the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that the church, God's family, the body of Christ is not to be like the world or even a subculture, but instead a counterculture, a culture that is completely opposite of the world. And the more I read the word of God, and particularly Jesus' own words, I can't help to notice several things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're just abiding and you're just soaking and you're meditating on Jesus and the things that Jesus did and how he lived his life and how he was a man, fully God, so humble, so obedient to the Father's desires. And he did and said nothing outside of what his Father instructed him to do. And so, you know, why is this important today? Why do we need to focus and bring things back? Listen, I mean, we're living in some serious times, and there's never been in all of history, there's never been a time where there has been so much Christian literature that's been available. I mean, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, maybe, I don't know, 18, 19 years ago, I wasn't aware of so many, you know, books and mm-hmm. teachings and videos and audios. And I mean, there wasn't that much. And, mm-hmm. and today there are books and all sorts of resources, yet you don't see the direct impact in the lives of many believers. You would think that with more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
With more information, if you will, more helps, it would produce a deeper call, a deeper committed church that's totally sold out and surrendered to God. Mm-hmm. I personally have not seen that. And what I have been seeing is a watering down of the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's become more and more diluted. I mean, Jesus said himself, Pat, that salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
Right.
It's at that point worthless and just kind of throw it out. And it's like, man, this, you know, the gospel here is getting watered down. Mm-hmm. Where is the commitment? Where is the sold out, you know, allegiance? And what we've seen in our culture is things that are completely different than what we've seen at the time, even with Jesus, even with the disciples, even in the early church. I mean, we have to get a grip and understand that Jesus didn't come so that we can be more comfortable. You know, we do live in America, but that's mm-hmm. not why Jesus came. He didn't come to start a cute religion.
Right.
You know, he didn't come to start a way of life. And these are things that you hear people, I just like good old Christian values. I like, well, listen, that's a byproduct of who God is. You know, we're going to have values and things are going to, are going to, truths and values are going to come as a result. Mm-hmm. But he didn't come for all that. So he didn't come so that we can come together once a week and have a nice, you know, couple of songs and a little sermonette and, mm-hmm. you know, a rah-rah, sis, kumbah, pep rally type of thing and then go back to our lives. And he didn't come to give us an upgrade, a better life. He came to give us life. He brought us such a major shift into the world, into our existence. And he came so that every single person can accept him and his finished work on the cross, you know, and to receive him as Lord and Savior, you know. And I talk about this often because I just can't escape where I see it everywhere I go. I can't escape the reality of people just wanting to just water down the gospel and saying that you can put on Jesus like you can put on a jacket, or you can try him out, or, you know, these are good principles. And it's like, look, Jesus came to take over.
That's right.
He came to be the king of our hearts. I mean, we talk about, you know, being we hear a catchphrase that's been around in the news a lot, you know, a transformational person, a transformational, you know, agenda. Listen, Jesus was truly and still is the most transformational figure who has ever walked the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not someone that you can actually be passive about. You know what I mean? You can't be on passive about the Lord. You can be on one side or the other. And he just didn't come and die for our sins so that, again, we can have a better life. He came so that we can have life. But we must make it clear with our own personal lives for all to see that Jesus is worthy of us giving him our entire life. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important because if you don't give God your entire, what are you giving him? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. This is what he requires. Everything. And coming to Jesus is not about saying a nice prayer or going to quote-unquote church. It's about following God and loving him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Listen, that's not radical Christianity. That's normal Christianity. It's normal. It's normal for Jesus to be the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, before your feet even hit the floor. It is normal that when you lay your head to bed, the Lord is the last person on your mind. It's normal to go to bed with thinking about scriptures and meditating throughout the day with the word of the Lord on your heart. It's normal to have to be stirred in your spirit with worship and just praying and wanting to share Jesus with people you come in contact with. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not radical. But have we been infiltrated? Has the church been infiltrated by the world? Jesus is looking for sold out lovers of God.
That's right.
I mean, plain and simple, sold out lovers for God. And these are Jesus' own words to his disciples. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that came around and started hanging around the Lord, you know, and said, "This is, wow, this is amazing. And look at the miracles and look at the signs and looking, you know, at the wonders." And it's amazing. People, you know, they'll come. They want to get blessed. They want to see miracles. They want to see what God can do for them. But then Jesus begins to speak very clearly. And he starts speaking to the disciples. And it's basically like, you know, let's not get this twisted. Let me explain to you what this is all about here,
right?
Okay? And he begins in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me," I just want to make it plain to you guys, if you want to walk this walk and go on this journey with me, "if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself." I mean, it's not even like a suggestion. It's not like, you know, you may want to. Jesus, right from the onset, right from the giddy up here, okay? He's saying, look, the way to me is you must deny yourself. And is that something that's even heard of today? But you tell anyone to deny themselves and it's like, you know, oh my goodness, don't say that. Say anything but that. But Jesus says you got to deny yourself. Yeah. You got to take up your cross, you know, come to me. Come to the place of no return, right? Mm-hmm. Get on this cross and follow me. These are probably the most overlooked instructions that Jesus has given. They're just most ignored or overlooked. The call to follow Jesus means that we are completely surrendered to him. He's not just Savior. He's not, you know, lucky rabbit's foot. He's not a good charm. He's not a better way of life. He's not about 25 principles to a better us. It's about a total radical commitment to this loving Savior who's actually rescued us from the pit of hell, mm-hmm. from bondage, from darkness. And, you know, I'm always encouraged when I hear people's testimonies, Pat, about what God has done for them, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes the enemy would try to tempt believers to be ashamed of where they came from, or not to bring that up, or to think that they're so far removed from that. You know, that's when I didn't know God and I was a heathen or a sinner. It's like, come on, man. If Jesus took one finger off of us, does God just he just let us alone for a minute? Would it be so? I would be so back in that pile of just junk.
Oh yeah,
you know, it part of just loving is to take time to remember, where did God bring you from? What depths did He bring you from? You can't help but feel a gratitude and indebtedness. Mm-hmm. Today, believers are acting like they're doing God a favor by showing up.
Right.
You know, today they act like they're doing God a favor by tipping God and not bringing Him honor. You know, listen, tithes, offerings, this is not about, God does not need our money. mm-hmm. But it's completely and totally a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a telltale sign. I mean, it's like, catch a clue. These are simple minor things. These are simple minor things. But when God has our heart, He has everything. We don't, you know, by the way, you know, God requires 100%. You know what I mean? You know, He requires everything. He just, you know, we give Him 10%. But right. I mean,
He lets us keep the other 90.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, you're not limited to 10%, by the way. You can give as much as your heart desires.
That's right.
But you're not limited. But it's about showing God honor. And so denying ourselves is really the first step. You know, I remember when the Lord made this plain to me, this is something I've read so over and over and over again, because I want to follow hard after Him. You know, mm-hmm. and I've looked at my life and times I've slipped, and it's like, Lord, I want to stay on this path, you know, and you can, mm-hmm. can. It's been 19 years I've been following the Lord. You can.
That's right.
You can run hard after God, and you can fan the flame in your heart. But oftentimes what gets in the way of going deeper in the things of God is you.
Right.
You know, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to be selfless in terms of the Lord. I mean, selflessness begins to open the door. It opens the door to living this life where God can begin to move in you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not selfless, you haven't even begun the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to deny yourself. The second thing is you got to take up your cross. Jesus is saying, listen, come to live a crucified life. This isn't about your dreams, your desires, any of this stuff. It's about you coming to the Lord and surrendering your life to Him, and then He will direct you. He will guide you. He will instruct you. When you give Him your heart, then you're just happy to do whatever it is the Lord has before you to do. And then the last thing He says, now you can follow Me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're ready. Now you can come on this journey. And many people are struggling in their walk with God, Pat, today. They're struggling because they've tried to bypass the first two steps and say, well, I'm following God. It's like, look, you can't follow God and follow yourself, too. It's not going to work.
Right.
You know, that's you're going to be in a constant state of turmoil, of frustration, and you're just fooling yourself. You got to come to the cross and be completely surrendered. And then in verse 25, this is what Jesus says. And He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it. Now, Jesus is saying this to Peter because, you know, and to the rest of the disciples there, because just before this, Peter's telling Jesus, hey, you can't go to the, you can't go to Jerusalem. You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus looks directly and Peter says, hey, look, get behind Me, Satan, for you don't have the things of God on your mind. You have the things of man on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Peter was trying to help Jesus to preserve his life. And is like, don't you understand? This is why I came.
Right.
This is why I came. And God, you know, He has given us an example. He's given us an example for us to follow. You know, I love my brothers in the Lord and the family of God that the Lord's connected me with. It's, you know, oftentimes we're always talking about our relationship with God and what God is saying and how God is challenging us. And And so that's always on our heartbeat, and I love that. I love being a part of the community and the body of Christ that really wants to follow hard after the heartbeat of God, you know? I'm challenging myself. Me and Pat were talking even during the break that, you know, I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to be his heartbeat. I want to hear what other people are saying and what God's saying to them, rather, you know, about what's going on and how they're being challenged and how we can live a more surrendered life and looking for more ways to be grateful. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, straight up, hey, listen, if anyone's going to come after me, you got to do a couple things here. You've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. And then you can come and follow me. And I think a lot of people are struggling today with their walk because they're trying to follow a God that they haven't surrendered their life to. And the issue is you got to surrender. Listen, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And in verse 26, he says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, Pat, and yet he forfeits his own soul? Mm-hmm. When you really think about the magnitude of Jesus' words, it's good to pause, you know, and reflect mm-hmm. a little bit here, you yeah. know? Right. Gain the whole world. That's all of the money, all of the houses, all of the real estate, all of the toys and things that people chase after. You can gain all of that. I mean, really, at a certain point, how many houses can you live in at one time?
Hello?
How many shoes can you wear at one time? But we won't even go there, okay? I mean, how many cars can you drive? How many, you know, give me, how many vacations and trips can you be? At a certain point, does it really become a vacation when every 3 months you're going somewhere? I mean, a mm-hmm. vacation is a rest from doing work, but if your job is resting every day.
Right.
I mean, at what point is it enough?
Right.
And then he says, you know, and what good will it be if you do that? And then he says, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, what can you give in an exchange? What can it be worthy enough for you to exchange for eternity? And all we have to do is just look at what's happening in the world around us. When you look at just one person, Steve Jobs, this man has done things in the world that very few people could ever do. He revolutionized at least three major industries: the movie industry with Pixar, the music world with iTunes, and the phone. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, just with the iPhone. I mean, that's major stuff. His products revolutionize how we listen to music, how mm-hmm. we view things, how we use smartphone technologies.
Right.
And yet, Pat, with all those billions of dollars, all those amazing inventions, I mean, when you're worth billions of dollars, I would dare say you could get the best medical attention in the world.
You would think. That's right.
But yet all of that money, all of that favor, all of that access to anything
right.
that could be produced on earth still could not buy his health or could guarantee him the future of his soul.
That's right.
And so the thing is that we have to pause here. You know, I've spoken to so many people on their deathbeds, and I've preached a ton of funerals, and I've been to a ton of funerals, and it's so sobering when the person's life is coming to the end. I mean, we talked about on our previous program how time is like sand in an hourglass, and the day we, you know, God knows the day we're born, he knows the day we're going to pass away, but what lies in the middle are just seconds, they're moments. And how the average person spends 37 minutes a day on Facebook and social media in a month at 17 hours. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And it's time. And I'm talking to the church. I'm talking for those of us that love the Lord. Are we where we want to be? Are we following and pursuing God? Or are we trying to put God in our comfortable American culture, our comfortable American box? Are we distracted by every shiny object mm-hmm. that comes our way?
Right.
Oh, distraction. I started out the race good, but then I got distracted here and I got distracted there. And it's like, oh, I got to start back up again, so to mm-hmm. speak. It's like, well, come on. Are we going to stay on the path, or are we going to be pulled away by every shiny object that comes our way? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to live a life devoted to the Lord? And so I want to encourage you as we share more about this and talk about a surrendered life. You know, hopefully we'll have time to talk about Chinese believers and Christians and what's happening in their life and how they're so committed to running hard after the Lord. Jesus has given us this formula. He's told us what to do. He said, listen, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Beloved, I'm inviting you to walk with me and follow with me. And if you lose your life, this thing you think is so important, I will give you a better life than you could ever dream of. Jesus has so much more for you, but it comes at the foot of the cross. Let's lay our lives down for him. He's already done it for us. The $50 iGuide, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 iGuide today so you can see. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program, because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John, and joining me today, is Pat Hamilton. We want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners all around the country and the world. We're so excited to be with you guys today. And on our previous programs, you've got to catch our previous programs. We've been talking about living a surrendered life and how important that is. I mean, you know, a surrendered life to the Lord is actually having a real life, you know. But at the end of the day, when we count all of our minutes and all of our time and there's an actual inventory and accountability for how we spend our time, listen, I want to have invested time, Pat. I want to make sure that the ledgers look really good, that, you know, I've spent time with him. And when I see him, I don't want him like, do I know, you know what I mean? I want us to continue our conversation right where we left off, and we were just talking about how important that is to fully surrender 100% of our lives. And I think about our brothers and our sisters in China and the committed life that they have. You know, China obviously is a communist country. They don't have the freedoms that we have in our country, the United States, and yet their walk with God, Pat, is I mean, just fire, committed.
It's amazing.
Amazing. And we want you to listen to the testimony, a brief testimony, about a few minutes, where Glenn Beck is interviewing a woman who has helped save countless Christians from Chinese labor camps, and a little bit of her story and what she was able to overcome. You got to listen to this. Listen up.
And how much longer? How long were you in prison?
2 months.
Was the address book still there?
Actually, not. At that time, it happened, my brother visited us. They took my brother with us and keep him in detention center for more than 24 hours.
Bob.
And they keep me and my brother in one room. Before they let my brother go, I told my brother, yeah, get the address book out of my house.
You, you know, last time you were here, we talked about things that I don't think Americans even think about in China. You know, we just, you know, it's just China and, well. It is really a horrific, horrific system that America and the rest of the world just turns a blind eye to.
Mm-hmm.
She's in prison. I can't imagine what you're thinking is happening to your wife while she is in prison. And then you come here. You were just with Congress, what, 2 weeks ago?
Just last week.
Mm-hmm. And begged, please, let me get to the White House, talk to the president, and have him release some political prisoners.
Yeah, like Lisa's dad and many others. Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, I was told that the White House basically declined and said no.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think it's a kind of a mentality of appeasement to the dictators, and maybe act as out of fear of China's retaliation. You know, China, or we allow China to buy so much national debts or bonds,
mm-hmm.
And we become slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the kind of a mentality that at least the current administration, well, we own China now, and you know, we cannot really have the courage to stand up on the human rights issue.
You guys are still working to free people in China.
Yes.
You still travel back, don't you? Do you travel back in or not?
Not.
No.
No.
Would none of you guys would get out? Would you?
I was told it could be a one-way ticket for me, and although Heidi was able to travel back twice in the past.
Do you see any place in the world that is standing up and saying, this is wrong? Do you see any country that's holding up the banner of real freedom?
Yeah, I mean, China has jailed really many more prisoners of conscience than the numbers combined, all, you know, by mm-hmm. any all other countries combined, And we have just, you know, this week there will be a major political trial for a number of political prisoners for simply putting up a banner of saying, you know, Communist Party leaders and disclose your property and disclose your wealth. Wow. And post it online, and they're all arrested. And so, I mean, you have house church leaders are sitting in the cold prison and sentenced to 15 years.
All right.
This is so amazing. When you're listening, this, you listen to Heidi and Bob Fu. Bob Fu is the president of China Aid. And you're hearing their story. This is happening today, Pat. This is the, you know, 20th century. This is not in 1800s here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about folks, believers that have been persecuted. I mean, Heidi has spent 2 months in prison, and just the sovereignty of God, she was able to get the little address book with all of the believers' names. You know, she was able to hide it where her brother was able to find it, and they were never able to get those Christians. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the person that they had previously on the program was a woman by the name of Lisa Peng, and she shared her testimony where the last time she saw her father, Pat, was for her 7th birthday. And basically he was called to provide a safe haven for persecuted Christians for these in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And basically he was lured over to Burma and was later arrested. And he spent tons of time in prison. He had heart attacks, he had arthritis, he was mm-hmm. malnourished. All the things that he suffered for. And I think about our brothers and sisters and their commitment to the Lord. And it's not just about them spurring us on and us comparing our lives to them. It's saying, look, we need to look at Jesus Christ himself and say that he's worthy. We need to have the full revelation of who God is and what he's done for us, and to live a life of gratitude, and to say that if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give him 1,000 lives, but we only have one. We only have one to give him, and to really meditate on all that Jesus has done for us. He is worthy of that type of commitment, of a complete surrender and devotion. And I'm encouraged by their life. I'm encouraged by what they have endured. And I'm telling you that I feel that we're going to begin to see, even in this country, persecution like we've never seen it before. And what's going to help us to endure to the end is the knowing, our knowing of Jesus Christ, not intellectually, not in our minds, but knowing him, because we've walked with him and we talked with him and we received his love and we've loved him back.